Turn to the book of Joshua. We'll be in chapter 24, the last two chapters of Joshua, chapter 23 and 24, conclude the life of Joshua. In fact, in verses 29 and 30 of chapter 24, we have record of the death and burial of Joshua. But prior to his death, the last two chapters record two separate incidents of Joshua gathering the people together, rehearsing God's unfailing faithfulness to them, reminding them of their corresponding responsibility to be faithful to God. But by the time you get to this point in the book of Joshua, Joshua has lived through slavery in Egypt. He has experienced the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And for 25 plus years, he's been leading Israel in both conquest and peace. He led them in the crossing of the Jordan River. He led them in defeating the enemy at Jericho. He had led them in defeating enemies on every hand. And now Israel has acquired their inheritance, the land that God had promised them. And it was a time of prosperity. It was a time of hope. It was a time of blessing. Joshua also saw it as a time of danger. So you come to these last two chapters. Joshua is now an old man, and he is infirm. We're told in chapter 23 and verse 1 that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And he says in chapter 23, verse 2, I am old and stricken in age. Chapter 23, verse 14, we hear Joshua say, I am going the way of all the earth. So Joshua knew that his days were very limited. And realizing that his life was coming to a close, realizing that this was a very dangerous, though it was a time of prosperity, it was a very dangerous time for God's people. He, in chapters 23 and 24, again, twice gathers the people to give a farewell address. And in chapter 24 and verse 1, we read, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, which was a valley between Mount Ebal on the north, Mount Gerizim on the south. It was a very significant place in Israel's history. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, it was here that Abraham first received promise that God would give his seed the land of Canaan. Was also here in Shechem in Genesis 35 and verse 4 that Jacob stopped and buried the idols of his family. And it was here at Shechem in Joshua chapter 8 that the Israelites, it was the first place that the Israelites came to after the conquest of Canaan. Joshua built an altar there and inscribed the law of God on stone pillars. So Shechem was a very significant place in the history of Israel, and what we're about to read takes place here in Shechem. So the people journey to convene at this memorable place to hear what Joshua will say to them. And though he's old and though he's stricken in years, he stands before them as a man of great faith, a man who loved the Lord, man of great boldness, man of great courage and resolve, man of great steadfastness, a man who had much assurance and conviction and passion. But most important, he stood there as the mouthpiece of God. So we just picture the scene. And Joshua was greatly burdened for the people. That brings us to our text. We'll begin reading in verse 14. Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So again, this is what we just read, is part of Joshua's final address to the people. We have record of the people's response to Joshua's address. It's not our intent to look at each of these verses that we've just read, but we do want to notice in particular. Verse 14, serve him. Also, verse 14, serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, we will serve the Lord. Verse 21, we will serve the Lord. Verse 24, the Lord our God will we serve. And verse 31, and Israel served the Lord. So the emphasis is that there is a call to serve God. And then there is an intent to serve the Lord. I want to speak this morning on make it your life plan to serve God. Make it your life plan to serve God. There aren't many of God's people that plan to serve God. There aren't many who claim to be Christian who stress to their children, you need to plan with your life to serve God. That needs to be your life plan, to serve the Lord. So let's consider, first of all, the conditions in which Joshua addressed the people. The conditions under which he addresses them in chapter 24 is pretty much the same as it was in chapter 23. And there in chapter 23, verses 3 through 13, Joshua mentions the nations seven times. When he mentions the nations, he's referring to the enemies of the Lord. He's referring to the enemies of God's people. So what that tells us is that the ungodly influence was all around them and was a threat to their spiritual well-being. It was a threat to God's people. And Joshua's concern, if you read verses 7 and 12 of Joshua 23, his concern was that they would become intermingled with the enemy nations. And that's why he told them, you don't intermarry with the enemy nations. That was his concern, that God's people would intermingle, which of course they did in their history. And by intermingling, they would lose their identity as the people of God. They would lose their distinction as the people of God. And in verse 13, if they intermingled with the enemy, they would lose the power and the blessings of God. And they would bring misery into their lives, and they would lose the enjoyment of the inheritance. That's pretty much where we are today. God's people have intermingled with the world, and they've lost their identity, they've lost their distinction, they've lost their power, they've lost the enjoyment of what is theirs. So Joshua, observing the presence of the enemy nations and knowing the proneness of the people of God, he saw that they were in danger. They were in danger of being consumed by the enemy. They were in danger of being taken in by the enemy and engulfed by the influence and the ways of the ungodly. So in light of this, he speaks in these last two chapters of the book. So the mood or the tone would be one that was very pressing, very intense, very serious, very vital. Be a tone of alarm in which Joshua speaks. This is not a trivial or frivolous occasion. It's a very serious occasion. And so there is today enemy powers seek to infiltrate and already have our thinking, make inroads into our lives. You look at your life. I mean, take a good, honest look at your life. And it's sad, the inroads that the world has made into our lives. It really is. And most of us would not be considered as worldly individuals. But the world has made inroads into our lives. And those inroads have greatly hindered our service or our ability to serve God. So we, like they, are in the constant danger of being taken in by enemy nations, by the influence of the world, by the ungodliness all around us. How many of God's people have been dazzled by the world's philosophies and the world's ideas and ways? And they become cold, and they become careless, they become lax in the things of God. And then there's a call that goes forth. Our text begins verse 14, now therefore. The word now is emphatical. By that we simply mean it's a forceful word. It's a very strong word. It's a word of emphasis. And the word therefore, of course, looks back and provides the reason, provides the motivation for what is going to follow. So prior to these two words, now therefore, there is a declaration of who God is. There is a declaration of the grace and goodness of God in their lives. Now therefore, there was a reminder in verse 2 that the Lord, He is the Lord God. Because of who He is, serve Him. There was a reminder also in verse 2 of what they were and where they came from. They served other gods. There was a reminder in verses 3 through 6 that God had brought them out of such. And in verse 7, that it was God who made a difference in their lives. That it was God who put a difference between them and the Egyptians. And in verse 8, it was God who made them victorious over their enemies. And in verses 9 through 13, it was God who blessed them. It was God who protected them. So really, in verses 2 through 13, you have a reiteration of Israel's history with God, which is a mirror of our own. And in those verses, 17 times, he uses the personal pronoun I, referring to God, followed by a verb on their behalf. In other words, God did something for them. And this is repeated 17 times. Notice, for just an example, we won't go through all 17. Verse 3, and I took your father. Verse 4, and I gave. And again, and I gave. In verse 5, I sent, I plagued, I did, I brought you out. And you can go on through verse 13. 17 times, he reminds them, God has done this for you. So what he's telling them, it is God. You are blessed right now, and it is God. And it is all due to God. That is the message of Joshua. We need to hear that message. He is the Lord God. And we are a blessed people. And it's all of Him. It's all of Him. We need to receive that message. It is God that brought us out from where we were. It is God who made a difference in our life. It was God who gave us victory. It was God who has blessed us and watched over us all our lives. That message needs to find lodging in our heart. Now therefore, and then notice what he says there in verse 14. Now therefore, fear or reverence the Lord. And again, these words go forth with force and emphasis. Now therefore, reverence God. So we hear God through Joshua, and then he goes on, he says, now therefore, serve Him. It is God who has blessed you. Now therefore, serve Him. And then he follows at the end of verse 14, serve ye the Lord. It is a call. It is a directive. It is a command. Twice stated. Serve Him. Serve ye the Lord. We need to hear those words. So we picture Joshua standing in Shechem. And emphatically he says, serve Him. Serve ye the Lord. That is a call to be in a specific position in life relative to the Lord. What is your position in life relative to the Lord? It is a call to be a servant. Serve Him. A servant is one that lives for the use of another. What do you live for? It should be for the use of God. It is one who waits upon another. It's one who attends to another for the purpose of doing the pleasure of another. Whose pleasure are we here for? The Lord's. The Lord's. You're to try to please your husband. You're to try to please your wife. But that's not your life calling. Your life calling is to please the Lord. A servant is a position of humility. It is a position of submission. So when he says, serve the Lord, he is saying you take a position of humility before the Lord. You take a position of submission before God. It is a call to be subservient and subordinate to the Lord. We are called to be the servants of God. Regardless, that's our calling. Amen. When Joshua stood in Shechem that day, speaking to the blessed recipients of God's grace and mercy and care, he said, serve Him. Serve ye the Lord. He was not calling upon them to determine how they would serve God. He was not calling upon them to decide when or where they would serve God. He just simply says, serve Him. Serve ye the Lord. It's not for us to decide how. That's the Master's business. Serve ye the Lord. What that means is that our whole course of life should be to conduct ourselves as children of God should. Whatever other callings you have in life, you are to conduct yourself as a child of God should. Serve ye the Lord. That is, act in accordance with the character of whose name you bear. Serve ye the Lord. Whatever else you might do in life, your calling is to act in accordance with the character of whose name you bear, the Lord. It is a call. It is a call to love Him supremely. It is a call to trust Him completely. It is a call to obey Him wholeheartedly. It is a call to thank Him continually. It is a call to use everything we have for Him. And this is to be so in every circumstance, in every place, and in every aspect of our lives. It is a call for our lives to be intricately woven around Christ or the Lord. It is an all-encompassing call. It is a matter of extreme importance. It is a matter of great consequence. It is a matter of priority. It is a personal matter. No one can serve God for you, and you cannot serve God for someone else. This is a personal matter between you and God. Serve the Lord. That's the call. Serve ye the Lord. It is a call that demands our immediate attention. It's not a call for when you retire. It is a call that demands your immediate attention. And whether you work a job or whether you're retired, you are to serve God. You serve God on that job. You serve God in your retirement. Circumstances have nothing to do with this. It is a call to serve God. And the call is greater than our personal fulfillment. The call is greater than our happiness. You might be surprised how happy you'd be if you'd serve God. A lot of people. It is a call that is greater than our family, greater than our career, greater than our dreams, greater than all of our ambitions. We're to be willing to put all of these things, whether it be our personal fulfillment, our personal happiness, our family, our career, our dreams, our ambitions, we're to be willing to put all things on hold in order to serve God. None of these things are to interfere in service to God. So there's Joshua, an old man, a man who's been faithful to God. And he calls out, serve the Lord. Serve Him, he says, after he had reiterated the many blessings that God had bestowed upon him. There must be a response to this call. There always is a response to this call. Well, it may not always be a positive response, but there's always a response to this call. Everyone here today responds to this call to serve God. You may go from here serving God, you may go from here not serving God. But either way, there's a response. So after the call is issued, serve ye the Lord. Joshua, in verse 15, supposed a possible scenario. He said, and if it seem evil, that is, if it seems displeasing or disagreeable or bothersome, or uninteresting and unsatisfying unto you to serve the Lord. You say, well, who amongst God's people would feel that way? Most. Most. He's supposing a case where the people might be unwilling to commit to God. How many who profess to be saved find service to the Lord very displeasing? Find it very uninteresting. They find it very unsatisfying. This is a real scenario. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you are willing to uncommit, if you are unwilling to commit to God, And those who are unwilling to commit to God always find a supposed reason for not doing so. Well, they always have a reason. And when that reason's over, they'll have another one. And that'll go on their entire life. That's been their history. But what Joshua says here in verse 15 is not how most people read this verse. He is not telling them, you today choose between the God of heaven and idols. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose ye what idols you will serve. In other words, you will serve false gods. If you refuse to serve God, you will serve false gods. Now notice what he says. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of a flood. So that's one of the choices. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Either way, you refuse to serve God, you're going to serve false gods. You're going to become an idolater. That's what he's telling them. I get so tired of people saying he's giving them a choice between God and the false god. Well, he is, in a sense. But if you refuse to serve God, you will serve idols. You will serve false gods. So Joshua, in a very clear, explicit, straightforward way, declared without hesitation, without the least bit of timidness, and with great resolve and purpose, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What he's saying is, no matter what happens, no matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what you all plan to do, I plan on serving God. That's what he's saying. And he's saying it is my plan to lead my family in serving the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Following this, verse 16, the people would say, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And then in verse 21, they said, we will serve the Lord. And in verse 24, the Lord our God will we serve. So they are saying along with Joshua, we too are determined to serve God. Joshua, it is our plan to serve God. That was the response. Again, we need to plan to serve God. But each time they said, we will serve the Lord. Notice, no conditions, no stipulations were made. We will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter where they lived. Doesn't matter what happened. We'll serve the Lord. You and I do not know what a day is going to bring forth, but our plan ought to be, I'm going to serve God. We don't know what old age is going to bring, but our plan ought to be, I'm going to serve God. We don't know what tragedies might await us, but our plan ought to be, I'm going to serve God. That's my plan. To serve the Lord. Listen to people's life plans sometime. And I'm talking about God's people. They'll talk for a half hour, never once mention God. Well, we plan on retiring at this age, and we're going to move here, and we're going to do this, 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 this. Not one mention of God. Well, what if God says no? We're doing it regardless. We're moving to such and such a place regardless. That's our plan. Or we're staying in such and such a place because that's our plan. Well, what if God has another plan? What if God has another plan? You see, our plan just simply needs to be, we're going to serve God. That's our plan. We might fail, but that's our plan. We're going to serve God. No stipulations. We need to stand and boldly declare with Joshua, it is my plan. It is my intent to be dedicated, committed, and surrendered to God. That's my plan. It is my plan to put forth my utmost effort, to give my all, and to be occupied in the business of God. We will serve the Lord. That's our plan. Well, what if somebody mistreats me? My plan is to serve God. That needs to be the plan. When they said, we will serve the Lord, what are they saying? They're saying, we will be available for God. We'll be available for Him. We will place ourselves at His disposal. We will align ourselves with God. We will attach ourselves to God. We will be identified with Him. Oh, we need to stand with Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We need to stand with the people and say, we will serve the Lord. We don't know what's going to happen, but it is our plan to serve God. That's our plan. It is our plan to make the one who saved our soul the priority of our life. To make Him the object and the aim and the passion of our lives. And it is our plan to glorify God and to show forth God. That's our plan. Regardless of circumstances. Regardless of what other people do. Regardless of what other people do to us. That's my plan, to serve God. Oh, that needs to be our plan. It's our plan to walk with Him. It's our plan to please Him in all that we do. Our children may rebel, our spouse may rebel, but it is our plan to serve God. And that's what the people were saying. And oh, to be a people clearly, visibly, and obviously for God. To be known to be a person for God. This needs to be so of every child of God here. Regardless of circumstances. Regardless of time. Every day it needs to be our intention. It needs to be our aim. It needs to be our purpose. It needs to be our desire. It needs to be our anticipation. I am going to serve God with my life. With my life. It needs to be our plan to serve God. We don't know what's going to happen at any given time. But regardless, our plan should be, I'm going to serve God. That's the plan. And that plan, when you plan something, it has an effect upon your thoughts. It has an effect upon your attitudes. It has an effect upon your outlook, your actions. It has an effect upon your day. Plan to serve God. It has a great effect upon your lives. When you plan something, you tend to shape your priorities around your plan. So if your plan is to serve God, God will be your priority. Job will never become your priority. Family will never become your top priority if your plan is to serve God. They'll never get in the way. Again, it needs to be our plan to serve God. We live in a world of upheaval. We live in a world of change and difficulties, problems and storms everywhere.
adversaries, sorrows, heartaches, disappointments. But in spite of it all, our plan ought to be, I'm going to serve God. Even if I have to do it by myself, I'm going to serve God. That needs to be our plan. Here we are in the 11th hour, surrounded by filth, surrounded by heresy, surrounded by the agenda of Satan. Our plan, we should say with Joshua, is for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord. We don't have to take an opinion poll to see what everybody else is going to do, because regardless of what everybody else is going to do, we're going to serve God. Do not allow anybody, I don't care who it is, doesn't matter. It can be your sweet grandma. It doesn't matter. Don't allow anybody to get in the way of your plan to serve God. Do not allow anything. Circumstances, feelings. Don't allow anything to get in the way of serving God. People make plans, and I've seen it. There ain't anything getting in their way of fulfilling that plan. Somebody will die. Oh, I'm sorry, I've had this vacation planned for a long time. Really? But nothing's going to interrupt their plan. That's how it ought to be with our plan to serve God. Nothing's going to get in the way of this plan. Serve Him. Serve ye the Lord. Can you hear that call? Can you feel the urgency, the force, the power of that call? Make it your life plan to serve God. Don't allow anything to get in the way. Don't allow anybody to get in the way. So the call goes forth and the people say, we will serve the Lord. The Lord God will we serve. In verse 28, they returned home. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And they returned home with this plan, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And then in verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days. May that be us. Amen. That we be found serving the Lord. Needs to be our plan. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. We're going to fail along the way. But that's when you need to just say, you know what? I guess I need to get back to the plan. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. Been a little hiccup here, but I'm going to just pick up and I'm going to serve God. God help us to be His servants. Difficult days are coming, more difficult than today. What's your plan? What's your plan? It should be, I'm going to serve God. Whatever comes of this country, I'm going to serve God. That's the plan. Don't know how long we're going to live. Don't know how long we'll have health. However long it is, our plan needs to be, I'm going to serve the Lord. God help us to be His servants. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.